Hey, you are listening to Adagio Fits, Clarissa Explains It All, podcast number 5, Questions and Answers. Hey, happy Tuesday to all of you. I hope that you're gearing up for a week of productivity and progress on your health and fitness journeys, your mind and body journeys. The podcast last week was on my 8-week coaching program and what coaching is and what I can do for you. But I have some other things in store for you coming up in the next month, and I'm so excited for those. I cannot wait to finish getting those ready for you guys. If you listened last week, I also gave a great offer because it is my birthday month. So you can go on and check that out, or you can listen to the end of this podcast and I will gift it all over again. So as always, welcome to our new subscribers. You are what makes me continue this every week, and I'm loving the response I've had so far. I've gotten great comments of support, and I've also gotten great feedback, like sound a little less nervous and you need to sound a little more like yourself because we didn't know it was you. So hopefully those will come with time, but I really am working on this and I'm really grateful that I get a second and a third and a fourth chance. And right now I'm on chance number 5. So I finally feel like I'm getting the hang of the software part of podcasting. And I think that that's a huge step in the right direction. Now I just got to sound a little more natural. So as for other things, I've been asking for questions about mind and body in the past couple of podcasts and on social media. If you don't follow me on social media, I have an Instagram account and you can find that under Adagio Fit, or Facebook, also Adagio Fit, but pretty much everything I post on Instagram, I post on Facebook. So it's kind of one and the same. So your preference, Facebook, Instagram. I am a lover of Instagram. So anyway, I asked you for all these questions and you guys delivered. I loved these questions and I'm ready to dive into them. Okay, so the first question that I got was, how can I find a local fitness class? When it comes to somebody who is just starting into their fitness regimen, into, you know, really exploring their fitness journey, I always recommend that they find a rec center. One of the reasons why I love rec centers is because they offer a variety of classes. You can usually go without a membership and attend some of those classes, or buy just like a month membership. And you have that variety in front of you, and people who are pretty down to earth, really normal people who just want to move. And I think that that's a great place to start. The second thing that I always do after a rec center is Google Maps. I love, you can like Google gyms, or you can Google like a fitness studio. If you have a specific workout you want to try, you can always Google that as well. So Google is kind of my best friend for that. But depending on your workout preferences, you would either go to a gym or like a private, what they call like a fitness boutique. And I really love a little small town local studio. If you can really get one that's a great quality studio, you will get a great, not only a great workout, but you'll get a great little community that you'll see constantly in there. Their prices are definitely higher than a gym and definitely higher than a rec center, but the quality that you will get is fantastic and the community is top notch for those. I teach at a little local studio here in my little town, and it is like my favorite place to be. It's like my hobby. I don't find it like a job at all. I just love it. And then the other place that I love to do, or the thing that I love to do, is to find a local studio is to ask on Facebook. There are, like, I know that our HOA has a Facebook page. And so you could ask on something a little more honed into your area, like not ask outside of, you know, the whole Facebook world. But if you had like a group or a page that you are part of within your community, you could ask within that. And I think that those are really great. Excuse me. So that's kind of where I would go to find a local fitness class. Another great option is you can always coach with me, and I can help you find those classes and get you in touch with somebody to help within your fitness regimen. All right, the next question that I was asked is eating healthy with kids. How do we eat healthy with kids? You know, eating healthy with kids is really easy to do, right? So in word, it's easy to do, but then you throw in factors of the real life. The witching hour, whiny kids, picky eaters, and that tends to become a little more complicated, right? And budget, you know, time and money are also included into eating healthy with kids. So I wanted to give you some things to think about, some of my thoughts. The first thing is that this is going to be different for every family. Every family has such a different situation now. We're not, you know, one traditional family. We have multiple incomes. We have jobs at different times. We have stay-at-home moms and dads. We have people who both work out of the home. You can have something like me where I'm a stay-at-home mom and my husband works. And then, you know, I have like my little side gig. There's single parents. There's everything out there. So this is going to be so different for everyone. So when it comes to advice about your family, you always have to take what feels and rings true to you and apply that part. So if you don't like any of this, don't try and apply any of this. But if you like some of this, that's great. Take it and try it out. Okay. So my first piece of advice is that our children will eventually eat by example. Eventually is the key word there. The first 7 years of one of your children's lives is all pulling in all that sensory and all those habits. So they're creating their habits within the first 7 years. And they're going to watch what you do for nutrition. So if you're in the kitchen sneaking after dinner, I might be guilty of that, sneaking, you know, chocolate after dinner, they notice that you do that. They can smell the chocolate from a mile away. So what you do is going to set your kids up for their future eating habits. They might not do it now, but they're definitely going to do that later. And most of us don't realize that our eating is a habit. So what we do out of craving is actually 90% habit and only, you know, 10% craving, or even less than that. So the question is, how are you eating now? So maybe you need to, instead of focusing on what your kids are eating, you need to focus on what you are eating. And then that can help transfer to your kids first. You know, putting on your oxygen mask first is really important. The next thing is making a meal plan. So in our family, I make a standard meal plan for 2 weeks at a time. We pretty much eat the same thing every 2 weeks, and I change it up a little bit here and there, but this is kind of what our schedule is like. Monday, we have pasta. Tuesday, tacos. Wednesday, soup and grilled cheese. Thursday, breakfast for dinner. Friday is pizza, always. And Saturday, we have leftovers, or we'll do something simple. And Sunday, I'll do like a gourmet meal. And we don't eat out a lot. I always make sure I have a vegetable. My sister-in-law is a huge example to me in that. She always has a veggie, even if she just dumps out a bag of carrots onto the table. So I really like that about her. In our family, everyone gets to choose between having a lot or having a little for their first serving. So if it's something, you know, that my daughter doesn't like, we say, would you like a lot or a little? And we know she's going to choose a little, but that gives her the opportunity to have a choice, but not necessarily get the choice to pass, okay? Especially when it's something new that we eat. And then if you want seconds, you know, we'll ask you, would you like some more of this? And they can pass on that. And so that gives them empowerment to make their own food choices, which is super important for kids to learn. And that it's okay to say no, right? All right, the next thing is that I don't push finishing plates and that my kids need to eat on their own intuition. So they don't, like if they don't want to finish their plate and they say that they're full, then I hold them to that and I allow them that they are full and we take care of their meal. We either save their food, they can put it in their lunch for tomorrow, depending on what we're eating, etc. Or somebody else on the table might finish it. One of the biggest things that I have to say hinges on kids eating healthy is kind of our societal role right now. So are you in charge of the meal or is your child in charge of the meal? Are you in charge of stocking the cupboards or is your child in charge of stocking the cupboards? Are you in charge of cooking or is your child in charge of cooking? So many times I find that, especially when our kids are young, we cater to them. We're tired. They are ornery. It's the witching hour, and we think that they need to eat in order to be healthy. I know so many moms who make 2 or 3 meals for their family each night, and this is crazy. We do not have to do that. So you make these extra meals, and then your kids suddenly expect that you're going to make extra meals or different meals for them every time you eat, and it becomes a terrible habit, and it's just not realistic. A lot of the times we can refine what we're eating, but we can't necessarily choose the meal. So, plus that makes you extra tired as a mom. So, I mean, you can let your kid go hungry. It's not going to kill them and it will pretty much prove a point. So you have to have some courage there in order to, keep that power. So when it comes to like making meals, I make sure that the meals that I make for my family, I can change so that I can eat healthy. For example, on Monday when they have pasta, I will either zoodle some zucchini or I will serve my sauce and vegetables over and cheese over like a side of steamed cauliflower. And I have found that that really hits the spot for me. Like that's enough for me and I don't crave that pasta. Tuesdays for tacos, I'll make myself a taco salad without, you know, the tortilla shell or any of the chips. I will also eat my tacos in a lettuce shell. Romaine and iceberg are good for that. Wednesday when I make soup, I just make sure and make a soup that I can eat that, might not have any pasta in it. Or if I make chicken noodle soup, I'll make the noodles on the side and then I'll get my bowl out and then I will add the noodles in. If I'm craving a grilled cheese with that soup, you could do like melted cheese again over vegetables, steamed veggies, or you could even make, and I've seen it on Pinterest, you mix like riced cauliflower with an egg and then you can turn that into a little patty and then put cheese between it and then, you know, make a cheese sandwich out of your riced cauliflower patties and cheese. So those are just some examples. It really is easy to take a meal and make it healthy versus trying to get your family to suddenly change over to a new lifestyle. I also find that there are some meals that are, you know, in this cooking, in this style where I'm adding in a little bit for me and taking out a little bit for me instead of for them, that I find that there are lots of low carb, like low sugar meals that my family really likes. And then I'll make sure and write those down and then we'll have those, you know, for the next month until we get bored of them and we want to find something new. And when I say for the next month, I mean like once a week, okay, not every day. So we have to remember that the needs of our children is so much different than our needs. Our bodies are different. Our children are growing and they move a lot more than we do. And so we need to make sure that they get the healthy carbs that they need. And we can't expect them to eat exactly like us. So it's about like simpler, healthier choices when you're changing your family, you know, over to a healthier lifestyle. Don't eat out as much. Don't eat out of the frozen food section, like where your dinners are prepared. Now there's some frozen vegetables that are really great for you, but don't eat out of like the already prepared meals. Changing white bread into whole grain bread, or instead of using white rice, use brown rice. Instead of juice, use water. instead of just like normal yogurt, you could do like Greek yogurt. I know Greek yogurt has been strained, and so it has more protein in it. But you want to make sure that the sugars are not ridiculously high. Sometimes a cup of yogurt, any kind of yogurt that has fruit in it, has almost as much sugar in it as a soda. And, or you could do like plain fruit on, or plain yogurt with fruit on it and then like a drizzle of honey so that you are the one adding the sugar. It's much better for you to be adding the sugar than letting a company add the sugar in. So ultimately, remember that you fill the cupboards and not your kids. And that food, what we eat, eventually becomes our bodies. It's turned into energy, and that energy makes cells. So the healthier we eat, the healthier our body's going to be. And the best thing that we can do for our kids is to lay off sugar-filled foods. So I have another question down here about sugar, but I'm going to say this, and I'll repeat this down below, that eventually I'll have a podcast about sugar and what it does to us and why it's important that we need to limit that. All right, next question. How, and I loved this one, it made me smile. How do you do your hair while you are in a workout? So I was asked this because the girl who asked this, her hair continually falls out of a bun and she finds that she can only do it when it's wet. So she asked me what I do for my working out hairdos. So number one, I have hair that's like past my shoulders, about 4 inches. Long enough to do a little bit with, but you could do pretty much any of these with, you know, shorter hair. Ponytail. I rock a low ponytail all the time, which is funny because there's a meme going around right now about having a low ponytail and looking like a founding father. And I wonder if I look now like a founding father, but I rock a low ponytail. And the reason that I like it low is because when I lay back on the mat to do core work, you get mat hair, of course, but if you have a ponytail right in the back of your head, then you will always, you'll be laying on that pony and you have to turn your head to the side in order to do your crunches, and that just doesn't really work. So, and then when I do a pony, I usually have to use two ponytail holders. I have really thick hair and it's really silky, and so ponytail elastics just, you know, slide right out. So the second one that I do is a top knot, and I know it's a good top knot if it stays for 3 days, and that's no lie. I'll do my hair and then I'll wait for 3 days if that top knot stays in. But I love the tutorial from Missy, and I will link that below in the show notes, and you can go watch her 3 ways to do a top knot. I also just do like a classic, like slicked up ballet bun, because it's easy to do and it holds tightly. The next one that I do is braids. I love to try out braids. So you could do like 2 boxer braids. Those are my favorite. You could do a French braid. The thing that I found with a French braid down the back of my head is that I have some hair damage right by my ears. And so my hair is kind of short, so it tends to fall out right there. So I like doing 2 braids down the back versus just one. What else do I do? I'll do like a side braid into a low ponytail, or I'll do a braid all the way down to the other side and do another side ponytail. The master of braids is the YouTube channel Twist Me Pretty. So if you want to go check that one out, I'll also link that one below. And then there are some days that I'm not seen where my hair is whatever it is. And I don't take pictures and post pictures those days of what my hair is while I work out. But I really do like my hair to be tightly pulled back. It really bothers me when it's in my face and loose. It's distracting for me, so I like to have it pulled back. So I hope that that answers the question about what I do with my hair when I work out. All right. The next question is, how do I eat healthy when no one else in the family wants to participate? So I really liked this question. And honestly, I think it was my hubby who wrote this one, because in the past, I've had problems that I was the only one in the family eating as clean. And I was frustrated because I wanted support, and I thought that that support had to come from equality. And it's not. So let's talk about this. So when you want to eat healthy, you have to know why it is you're doing what you're doing. Why do you want to eat healthy? Is it what your spouse or kids want to do for themselves too? If they have no interest in it, trying to get them to do what you're doing is not okay. And that's one of the reasons why I plan my meals for my family, and then I tweak them so that I can eat with them. And we really have to look at it from, we can't change them. They are circumstances. We cannot change what our family believes or thinks or does, but we can definitely can change us. And until that point, I was getting frustrated, you know, that my husband would come home and drink sugar-filled Kool-Aid, and I'd be drinking water, you know, to that extent. And it really frustrated me. But after I found my why, and I realized that it was part of me, that I can change me, that I was able to find some peace in that. The second thing that I wanted to say about this is, if you are looking for it, you are going to find it. So I realized in my health journey that even though my husband doesn't eat as healthy as I do, or he eats according to his needs, he's definitely an intuitive eater, and I'm one that, you know, tracks all my macros, at least right now. And so even though he doesn't eat, he doesn't have a diet like I do, and a diet is defined by what you put into your mouth. And his diet is not like mine, but he still supports me. So even to the point of like letting our grocery bill be a little bit more so that I can buy more vegetables, more healthy food. And if I wanted to, I really could pinpoint ways my family isn't supporting me, like how we were on vacation the other week and they chose to go to McDonald's because that's what all my girls wanted to do. And that was not something that I wanted to do, but I could have been really upset and gotten, you know, really huffy about it and said that, you know, I don't want to eat there. I can't believe you that you're not supporting me and my healthy goals. But in all reality, I'm learning that anywhere I go, there's something I can eat. And it might not be the healthiest, but the idea of what is more important then comes into play on that. But if you are looking for it, you are going to find it. So if you are looking for support, you're going to find support. And if you are looking for ways that you are not being supported, you are definitely going to find that too. And it's easy to do. Our brains are so efficient that what we think and how we feel leads to like our actions and our results, right? Okay. But finding great support when we want to eat healthy is really important. Some of the ways that you can have accountability but not equality, because remember, all of our bodies are different, therefore all of us are going to eat differently. So Facebook has some great groups. All you have to do is just search on Facebook and you can find some great groups. Girlfriends are always a great idea. I always have to remind myself, my husband's not my girlfriend. And that's true. Girlfriends will empathize, affirm, and really support you. So make sure that who you are around fits in with your health and your lifestyle, because that can be really tough. Stand up for yourself. To find great support, once you stand up for yourself, you'll find that your greatest support is yourself and what you have on the inside of you. You are so much stronger than you think you are. And so that's awesome to be able to do that. It takes lots of courage, but once you do it, you'll be really empowered and you'll be surprised at what else you can accomplish through that. And another option is you can always sign up to coach and train with me. I would offer you a great support, great accountability to make sure that you are staying on top of your eating healthy and making sure that you're feeling good about yourself. And that's the most important thing. And finally, eating healthy when no one else in the family wants to participate, you have to remember love. It's easy to forget this part. It's easy to feel victimized. It's easy to feel like a victim of our circumstances. And we have to remember that we need to show love for others in order for them to love us. So we have to give that in order to receive that. So give your family the kind of support that you would want in return. And also give yourself that support. Don't forget yourself. The next question I had, which I thought was kind of great, because now I was telling my mom this, I finally put my Easter decorations away. And I said, oh, I'm so grateful I don't have hardly any other decorations to get out until October. Once we hit October, it's like 6 months of holidays, you know, constantly. Bigger holidays, right? So recovering from too much junk food over the holidays. So first things first, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you had too much junk food over the holidays. What is too much junk food? You are not a bad person for indulging over the holidays. It happens to, I think, the majority of people. So make sure that you are loving yourself again and not shaming yourself for this. Don't be so hard on yourself. That's what my mom always tells me. There could be a million reasons why this happened. Stress, pressure, nothing else to eat, some of the circumstances that we're in. And so we'll get down to what to do about this. But if you if you have been taking care of your diet for a while, hopping right back into that healthy eating may be easy for you. You may not need some help. If you are new to this, you might need to take it a bit slower. You know, do one thing a week for the next 3 or 4 weeks until you get back. Some of my recommendations: drink a lot of water. Up the water intake. You need to flush out all the extra toxins that are sitting in your system. You need to get rid of that. You kind of need a clean slate. And in order to do this, you've got to drink some water. Water can help us our metabolism. It can help give us energy. It helps regulate our body temperature. It helps us to not feel so sluggish. I mean, we need it to live. So make sure that you're drinking a lot of water. When I travel, I really struggle with the water. And, you know, holidays, you're just kind of out of your own element, usually out of your own comfort zone or your own normal environment. And so we tend to forget to drink a lot. So to detox your body, to get rid of some of these toxins, you can add a fresh squeezed lemon or a drop of lemon essential oil into your water in the morning, mix it up and drink it. I usually do that and then I'll wait like 10 minutes and then I'll eat my breakfast. So not only that, but when we eat a lot of junk food, lots of junk food has sodium in it. Sodium makes you retain water. And so then we hold on and we, you know, hold on to that water and we feel kind of bloated. So to get this out of our bodies and to let go of the water, we actually need to drink extra water to tell our body, it's okay. You're getting all of the water that you need. And then our body will release that extra water. To continue on, then you're going to take the added sugar back out of your diet. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a whole podcast in the future on sugar. But for now, if there is sugar in the first 5 ingredients of what you are using, don't use it. And if it has more than 10 grams of sugar per serving, you probably should rethink what you are eating. So be kind to yourself. Again, it's all about internal thoughts and internal love. You have to be kind to yourself in this process and trust your body. The more you take care of it, it will tell you what it needs and you will be aware of that and be able to help with that. All right, last question, how to cut the carb monster. So if you're craving carbs, this is like sugars, sweets, etc. When we crave carbs, it's either a matter of mind or body or both, okay? Your body and your mind are both talking to you. So let's talk about your mind first. When you are craving carbs, what is going on in your mind? What is your brain telling you? What are you feeling? Our thoughts and our feelings create our actions. And so what are we feeling? Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. I just need to eat some chocolate. Sometimes when we eat with a diet mentality of chocolate, you know, sweets are bad, carbs are bad, and veggies are good, we instantly crave it more. So that is something to think about. Are you holding yourself back that your body just wants more and then you find yourself binging on that? Sometimes we eat emotionally, So the witching hour, sometimes we think we deserve to have a sweet. I worked out today, so therefore I can have carbs. Sometimes we think we deserve it because of, you know, our circumstances. I can't believe I dealt with all these kids all day. Oh my gosh, I'm going to sit down and have myself a treat. I need to treat myself. Now, sometimes that's not always bad, but we need to make sure that it doesn't lead to a binging, right? All right, so what are we thinking? What is on our mind? And then the second part is our bodies. When our bodies are craving carbs, it really is telling us something. Either it has been using carbs as a fuel source for so long, and now you are limiting it too much that now it's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing to me? Sometimes that takes like a whole 7 to 14 days to get out of if we are trying to lower our carb intake. So you have to be in a mindful place in order to say, you know what, this is going to pass. But you also have to be in a mindful place to know, like, well, maybe I've been doing so much heavy cardio that my body is completely depleted of its glycogen stores and I need to refuel that. And that's what can happen with heavy cardio. Cardio uses carbs a ton and your body will crave those. So if you are doing lots of cardio, you also need to up your carb intake. So that might not lead to weight loss. It might initially, but after a while, you might need to turn off some of the cardio and turn on more strength and resistance training. But doing heavy cardio again uses carbs to get its main source of energy. So if you are doing heavy cardio again, you need to up eating carbs. Make sure that when you eat your carbs, you're eating whole grains like oats, rice, whole grain bread, etc. All right, and so around your body and mind for the carb monster, I loved that she called it that, you have to create an awareness. You have to really be willing to be aware of your body. You have to be willing to feel the feelings that you're feeling and attend to them. Our society is really to a point where it just wants to know how. It doesn't want to know why. It doesn't want to know why are we doing what we're doing. It just says, please just tell me what to do and I will do it and therefore I will get those results. But that's really not how it works, especially with dieting and eating. If you can create an awareness of what's going on, you can then figure out what thoughts and feelings you need to create in order to create the right action, or your efforts are going to fail there. So I hope that that's a little bit, again, I'm going to have some podcasts about all of these. So you'll get like a full podcast about these subjects, but I loved them and I was so grateful for them. So thank you for submitting those and keep them coming. I will, the ones I didn't get to, I will be able to get to in the future. So if you're looking to learn more about the concepts that I talked about today, you can go ahead and click on the link in the show notes and it will take you over to my booking sessions and you can book a free mini session with me, which is great. 30 minutes of my time, you get 30 minutes of my time where you get one-on-one coaching and answers to your questions about these topics and or any other concerns that you have about your body and mind and really putting together that wellness, that wholeness that we need in order to have just a real zest for life. So what I offered in the last podcast, I offer again. So tomorrow is my 32nd birthday. And so I am offering 32 free coaching sessions, free mini coaching sessions to my followers right now. So that's really, I'm really excited to do that. And I feel like it's the best birthday present because it gives to you. And I get to feel fulfilled because I love what I do. So if you, again, you can click on the link in the show notes to go over to my calendar and book a free mini session. 30 minutes of your time. It's all done online, which is super fantastic. And you'll get like a email with the link in it and everything like that. Reminders. It's great. I love technology. All right. If you're liking what you hear, please share this with others. I know that as time goes on, this can only get better. So my list of topics is loaded for weeks. I think about these all the time. I get super excited when I get to record my podcast and talk to you all. If you have any feedback, you can let me know in the comments below the show notes. And I love to hear from my listeners, and I love to deliver and work on what you have suggested. I do this, again, I do this for you. And I want to make sure that this is what you want to hear. Finally, if you haven't heard it today, you are loved. You are doing great, and hang in there. I will see you guys next week.